Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. The Lord is really working amongst us and working within us, all of us, to bring about the reality of this new life he's given us. But also, particularly in this season, the Lord is asking us to focus on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. And to realize that the gift of salvation doesn't just mean you are forgiven your sins. It doesn't just mean that you have a new life. It actually means you have God Himself through His Spirit living in you. And so to be a Christian is actually to be a possessor of the very life and person of God, the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do you not know that the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have received from God? And we have to learn to adjust our mindsets and our thinking to what we have received, rather than all the time thinking about what we have yet to receive. And if we have received Him, and invite Him to fill every part of our being. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to take over spirit, soul, and body. That He has the best life possible for your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Because Jesus came to give fullness of life. But He also has the best life possible for you physically and in your ministry in this world. Jesus hasn't made you a dam of life, a reservoir. He's made you a river. His Spirit flowing out of you to bring refreshing and power through His Spirit at work in you. And I really want us to look at today that the reality really from God's Word of what it means to be Spirit-filled and to be spiritually minded. And have a look at how to walk as a Spirit-filled believer. Because often, you know, we just kind of hang around, pray a lot for God to fill us with His Spirit. And then we really kind of miss it because we don't know how. And Scripture is very practical, and particularly the Scriptures we're going to look at this morning, on how to see that flow of life, the life of the Holy Spirit at work through each and every one of us. And in Romans 8, verse 6, the NIV, the New International Version Translation, says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And actually in verse 5 it says those who live according to the flesh, that's your own self outside Christ, your desires that are independent of God, which we all have, do we not? And so the flesh never is totally removed, we just have to take our minds off the flesh if we're going to live a Spirit-filled experience in life. And it says here, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds on what the Spirit desires. So we see immediately your mind, the way you think, has an effect on the life and power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through you. And our mindsets have to be adjusted to think according to the mind of Christ or the mind of the Spirit so that we can access and release the power of the Holy Spirit. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and power. Now think about that. Jesus walked full of the Spirit with his mind governed by the mind of Christ or the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And his whole life was a ministry of life, power, and peace. He brought the reign of God wherever he was. He healed all who came to him. And he had a mindset with anybody who came to him, and that was healed. He had no other mind for people. Didn't matter their circumstances or events that led them up to that point. He only had one mind. And he was single-minded about that. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, is available in the here and now. And that means, as it is in heaven, God wants it to be a reality on earth. But our thinking, our mindsets, can either release that life and peace and power, or actually stop the very life and power that is already present in the Holy Spirit from actually moving into situations, moving into you as an individual, transforming you and your world. So the mind of the Spirit means to be shaped, our thinking to be shaped by the Spirit, our attitudes, so that our mindset is always exalting Christ. We're always exalting the Word of God above our experience or circumstance. We're exalting the Word above our feelings. Because if we live feeling-centered, how do I feel? What do I feel at this particular moment? There isn't any life of God in that. But if we think according to the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and the Spirit-given mind, then life and power will be released to us and through us. It means we are thinking about the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven isn't over there or over there or in some other room in Taunton. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Wowzers! In your mind, you need to have a renewal, a readjustment to the truth of what you actually have already. You see, if we're self-conscious, not God-conscious, we will not see the life and power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a practical reality of walking as Spirit-filled people, not just in a meeting, but in everyday life, in our relationships, in the issues that crop up in all of our lives. We need His life and peace. In everything. In John chapter 6, we look here, we're not going to really look at the whole miracle of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish. This boy had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And, you know, he fed 5,000 out of that small lunch for one little boy. That's what Mum thought when she sent him out. That'll do one of you. What did God think? That'll do 5,000. What a mindset. And what I love about John chapter 6, verse 6, is he asked, verse 6. He asked Peter, Philip in verse 5, sorry, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" But he asked this only to test him. And I believe we need some tests in our Christian life. Our circumstances. We need to be put into circumstances by the Lord to test what our thinking is about this. What do we think God could do in this? Not, "Oh, I don't like these tests, Lord. Cancel it out." I actually think it's good for us to be in a time where we're not actually thinking we can see provision or we can't see God at work because we're just looking at what's wrong and what we don't have. And Jesus, it says here, he already had in mind what he was going to do. He already had in mind. You know, before you see a miracle, you've got to have an already got in mind from God. Your mind has already got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in that situation. Otherwise, you will be powerless in that circumstance. You won't be able to do anything but wonder how much money you've got to buy bread. And so everything that Jesus was doing to train his disciples, as he is his church today, you and me today, is to actually reorder our thinking so that we can carry the mind of Christ for every situation. And the mind of Christ is totally foreign to the mind of the world. It thinks plenty when the world sees lack. It thinks healed when the world sees sick. It thinks problems rather than answers and solutions in God. And so unless we readjust our thinking, we will live with a lockdown of the Holy Spirit within us. We will stop what God actually wants to release through each of our lives. Jesus already had in mind. So he already had something going on by the Spirit. And you know, Jesus never did anything of his own initiative. And so he was given the mind of God for that situation, just like you and I need to be given the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit revealing the mind of Christ to us. Whether it's through reminding us of a scripture, bringing that to mind, or bringing a vision or impression to mind, or remembering a miracle in that moment that has happened. He will bring to mind the things that Jesus has said and done so that in that moment, as you are looking out from your inner perspective, you've already got a mind for a miracle. You've already got in mind a miracle God's going to do. Our world needs to have people who've already got in mind a miracle that God's going to do. There are multitudes out there that need us to have already got in mind what God wants to do. When Peter and John went up to pray, to the temple to pray, and they saw this man, this lame man, begging, they didn't say, like a lot of us would, oh, bless him, poor darling, not walked for years, never walked, never could. Anybody got any money? What can we do naturally speaking? You see, I believe what happened when they were spirit-filled, they already knew what they had. They had in mind that the Spirit was within them, that it was always Jesus' will to heal, it was always his will to bless, and it was always available through the kingdom of heaven within them. They already had the name of Jesus, the authority to command that man to walk. Because Jesus had already given it to them. They had authority over all sicknesses, all diseases, all demons. He was all theirs. And so from their perspective, they didn't think what we could do in ourselves. They thought, what God can do through me. What I have, Peter said, I'm giving you. And what did he have? Authority. So he said, in the name of Jesus. He didn't just go, Sobora hadari yerebegesende. He released heaven through faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, walk, get up and walk. So he already had in mind that the man is going to walk. Because you've got to have it in mind before you say it. Or you will say, Lord, please try and do something. And if that's in your mind, that's not a miracle in mind. Do you understand the difference? And so the early church, when they lived a spirit-filled life, they lived conscious constantly of the mind of the Spirit. They depended on the Holy Spirit and knew the Word of God. You need both the written Word and the Holy Spirit to actually operate in the mind of Christ. And it's so easy to be a natural thinker, isn't it? You know, I made a mistake this week. I thought I'd let you know, because my mistakes might help you. I had a phone call from Italy. Oh, in fact, it was an email and then a phone call. And we've only just been ministering in Italy, and it wasn't in my calendar to go back. And what had actually happened is a great man of God who'd served God's plan for Italy, had massive impact on Italy over the last, 50, 60 years, actually went to be with the Lord. And apparently in his last couple of weeks, he had in mind to invite me to go and teach in what they call the Shepherd University in the north of Italy on the border with Switzerland. And, I always pray about whatever comes to me, invitations that come. And I ask the Lord, is this your will? Or, what do you want me to do in this situation? And because he'd kind of said it before he died, it was almost like quite a lot of emotional pressure behind it. Can imagine that, can you? Don't know whether you can, but I felt a bit of pressure, and then I was looking in 5 weeks' time. That means I've got to go to Italy. It'll take a lot of money because the flights, we usually book flights early, so it's very expensive. I've got to do a lot of traveling. It'll be a massive amount of work while I'm there. Not that that's a problem, but I know what it means. It's like doing a conference for quite a few days. And in Italy, where they talk a lot. Okay, so there is ministry all the time, whether you're eating or whether you're ministering. You're ministering. Anyway, I prayed about this and I put it before the Lord, and I couldn't kind of work out what God was saying in it. And so I thought, well, unless I've got a big yes, I think it's a no, because it doesn't actually fit in my calendar. I've got other things that I've got planned in my calendar. Anyway, and this is part of having a spiritual mindset. Whilst I was willing to go, I was kind of leaning towards not. And I know that God speaks through spiritually minded people. Do you? Not carnal Christians. You'll only get compromise, lower the standards, or do whatever you feel. But spiritually minded Christians operate in the mind of Christ. Anyway, Pastor Andrew and I were having a prayer day and this week, and I said, well, I just had this invitation. I think I'm going to say no. She said, how interesting. I've been praying for them. A few days ago, I was praying for that ministry. And straight away, I knew I was being corrected. Previous to that, I didn't have the mind of Christ. And I knew that being with a spiritually minded person actually corrected my mindset. And I knew I had to say yes. Because if she's going to pray for that, that means God's in this. And there's something. So I rang them and it's all organized. But isn't it easy to block? Because your calendar's full. You're a bit busy. Isn't it easy to be naturally minded about church and not keep on meeting together? Isn't that easy? To drop out, to be a dropout, and not to be a front runner in Christ. It's so easy to make the wrong choices and still think you're doing the will of God. Which is why I think, a companion of fools will do themselves harm, Scripture said, but he who walks with the wise will be wise. And therefore, your spiritual friendships are massive in helping you, challenge you in the mind of Christ. And if you're not willing to listen, you won't be led. Now, I'm fully aware that I'm the leader of this church. You don't have to tell me. Even if you don't agree with it, I am. God put me here. That's it. But I submit out of reverence for God. And Pastor Andrea, she's leader too. But I submit out of reverence to God so that I'm listening to what the Spirit is saying. And so it's so important that there's a reality of an outworking of living in the mind of Christ. Because to be spiritually minded will release life and peace to you. I came to peace straight away and I thought, well, that's it. I'm not going to fight that. Because anybody who fights the will of God will have a fight on. They'll never win. You'll never win with your own mind. But you'll always win in the mind of Christ. But it's so easy to allow our mindsets to damage our lives and ministries. Really easy. And that's why we need to be a humble, teachable people. To be spirit-led, you better go low so Jesus can be high. And before others as well. Don't be an independent fool. You will lead your life into many troubles in independence. But the body of Christ is the place where God has assigned you to live out your life in fellowship with others. Amen. To be devoted to fellowship so that you can continually be transformed. Even this morning, you came here and you're being changed. As we were worshiping God, your spiritual mindset started to click in because you were singing truth. And as you're hearing the word, trust you are, this morning, listening, it's changing your mindset. And we need to have a mindset about everyone and everything that is adjusted to his mindset. And if Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is his will here and now, we need to see everyone and everything with kingdom perfection. Say perfection. Woo! We run from that because maybe we haven't seen it yet. But that's how Jesus sees it. So you better change your mind about what God wants on earth. As it is in heaven, couldn't be a more perfect place. There could be some miracles if you adjust your mind. Not just for you, but for everybody else. There could be today. If you change your thinking to everyone, everything, God's perfection. God's perfect rule and God's perfect provision. In and through Jesus Christ. And so the way I see everything, I need to watch how I'm thinking. If I don't watch what I'm thinking and how I'm thinking, then the Holy Spirit within me is not going to be released with life and power. There's going to be a little bit of death going on. Now, all I know about death is there is no life there. And so many people pray to be filled with the Spirit, but are not seeing the life, but seeing a lot of carnal death. Because their thinking isn't straight. It isn't according to the mind of Christ. And that's why Scripture tells each one of us to take captive every thought. And I mean every. The way you see the person you're sitting next to you, take captive. The way you're looking at me right now, take captive that thought. If you don't like the way I'm speaking, take captive. Take captive the negative thoughts about your boss. Let the kingdom of heaven, perfection, come to you in Jesus' name. You're looking at lack. Let perfection come, Lord, your provision in this. Let it be done. And that's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. He said, repent. Now, repent isn't just a repentance from sin, although it is. It is also a turning around, a change of mind and thought. In other words, to walk with Jesus, you're going to have to change your mindsets. I'm going to have to change my thinking in the little things and the big things. That in everything that I'm seeing through God's eyes. And my thinking is being shaped either through directly reading the Word of God, which is one way that I'm daily shaped. I'm daily being shaped by reading the Word. But I'm also being shaped by the Holy Spirit ministering the mind of Christ to me in any given situation. And I'm also shaped, as I've said, by others in the church who bring the mind of Christ. Change the way you think. Renewal. Doesn't Romans 12 say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Think about transformed. Be transformed. There is a powerful release of the Holy Spirit when you change the way you think. Life and peace will come to you and through you as you adjust your thinking to the mind of Christ. Now, I believe Scripture this morning, and the heart of God is to help us to live a Spirit-filled life so that we live in life and peace. Okay, so this isn't just a lesson. I believe help is coming through the wisdom that we read through Scripture. And Mark chapter 5, let's look there. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Okay, before we read this, I just want to talk about the problems we all face. Anybody facing any kind of problem at all? In their life? In somebody else in the family? At work? You probably qualify for all of them, do you? Right? Qualified. Well, if you don't now, you will. Because in this world, you will have many tribulations, trouble, Jesus said. But I've overcome the world. So in other words, we need to have an overcoming mindset. Now, let's see how Scripture helps us approach in a right mindset the problems we all face. Okay? So if we adjust our thinking, we know we need to be Spirit-filled. We know that we need faith, repentance and faith. But this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize our mindset. How you see your problems. How you see your challenges. Now, if we react to the problem, thinking about the problem, thinking within ourselves, having in mind how big and difficult the problem is, talking within yourself. How many of you know that you do talk to yourself? And actually, you can be quite repetitive. So can I. I can go on and on and on and on about a problem on the inside. I haven't said anything yet, but it's going on. I haven't got in mind, like Jesus, a miracle. I've got in mind how little things aren't working. And so you can think about the problem. You can meditate on the problem. You can talk then about it. Because what happens is, as you're thinking, you are affecting what you believe. It affects your faith. And you start to see a problem through the eyes of doubt and unbelief. You don't believe God is present for a miracle. You just believe the problem's present. Exactly. And actually what happens is the problem becomes your faith. Because you think about it so much, it becomes your faith. You're believing your problem. Now, that's not Bible faith. It's not the faith that comes from God. It's not theological faith. But it is your faith. You've got faith in your problems. Okay? Now, the more that goes on, the more that'll sink you. And the more that goes on, the more the enemy lies to you, saying how big the problem is and how little the solutions you have are. There's none of this talk like the early church, what I have, I give. It's what I haven't got. And we are all reduced to just faith in the negative or the problem. Now, this can really sink people. They start to get a negative thought and down goes their lives. They might even get a negative thought about someone in their family. And let me tell you, that was a slide like snakes and ladders. It's the snake. Down you go. And you will sink to the bottom with negative thinking. Just like the disciples, when they're in a storm, their mindset was, we're perishing, we're sinking. They'd already thought it, so they began to speak it. And they were about to have what they said until they looked to Jesus and brought him in on it. And I believe God wants to help us out of the problem cycles. which begins with the way we think about them. Because the mindset of the Spirit, your mind set on the things the Spirit is saying about things, is life and peace. I woke up a little while ago with this thought. As soon as I woke up, now listen up. Just came to, as soon as I woke up, now normally I have a cup of tea before I hear the Lord, but these days, because we're living in a new move of the Spirit, actually, I believe, I'm hearing God before I wake up, which is great. Less effort. And I had this word from the Lord: sick thoughts equals sick bodies. Whoa, do you hear that? I hope you can see that's a problem. Sick thoughts equals sick bodies. Tired thoughts. Oh, I'm so tired. Thinking within yourself, I'm tired. I'm so tired. All I ever do is get up. And you wake up in the morning, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And you know what? Your problem will continue to be established and grow. Just as your sick thinking will produce continuous growth of sickness. Because as you think in your heart, it's going on and on and on. Thinking about what you don't have rather than what you have in God. Now, in Mark chapter 5, we see that there is a large crowd following Jesus and pressing around him. In verse 25, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, that's a long-term health challenge. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You deliver us from all sicknesses, short-term or long-term. Oh, yes, today's the day. Long-term. It's time for the long-term to stop. And this woman, she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. And instead of getting better, she grew worse. So the doctors couldn't do anything about it, and actually her health was deteriorating. Now, at that point, she could have thought, well, that's it. I'm just going to lose strength until I die. This is just going to continually increase until I go right down to the grave. Because naturally speaking, that is the way it would go. Naturally thinking. But what's interesting is she repented. She had a change of mind. And I love this, because this is so important to see. The victory and the beginning of her miracle was actually, she began to think differently. And in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, she wasn't thinking about what wasn't possible. She began to think, Jesus is here. And the same Jesus is present here as he was that day. He has the same power today as that day. Jesus is the same yesterday, today. It's important. Today is important. Because we need power today so that we can continue to live in it tomorrow, but today. And she thought, and actually another translation is that she said within herself. She wasn't saying within herself about the problem. She'd left her faith in the problem. It wasn't dominating her. She had a mind shaped by the Spirit, by God thinking. Jesus is here. He's good. He's powerful. If I just touch him in faith, I will be healed. And power went out of Jesus. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, I see power in that life. because it's the life of God coming into us. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. She thought within herself, if I just touch him. Now she had changed the way she was thinking. And that caused her to not doubt in her heart. Because we need to know how to receive from Jesus. And we begin to think within ourselves healed. We begin to think in ourselves well. We begin to think in ourselves, I'm no longer tired. I will run and not grow weary. Because I don't rely on my power. I rely on His. He has become my life. I don't know if this is helping you. Out of your problems and into your miracle. Out of your lack and into plenty. Out of sickness and into health. She thought within herself. She was single-minded. And doesn't James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, can't receive anything from God. Anything. You can't receive anything from God with a double mind. Which is, one minute you believe the word, the next you believe the problem. One minute you believe the word, the next you believe the problem. I've been there. Has anybody ever done that? I've done that. One minute my focus is, oh no, it's getting worse. The other is, oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. This is amazing. My mind. And I am like a pendulum of a clock going like this. Left, right, swinging. And you know what? I can't receive from God like that. I have to be single-minded. I have to have God's mind, the mind of Christ, on it. And the devil lies and says, because there's a lot of false teaching about, that Jesus doesn't heal everyone. When Jesus died, he said, everything's finished. All sins, all sicknesses, all diseases, and all the power of the enemy is broken. And so everything is available freely. And as Jesus said, we freely receive, let's freely give. So how do we receive? We need to have the solution within ourselves, repeating it. And that's part of meditation. I believe we need to speak it as well. But you've got to get this mindset so established in you that it doesn't actually change even if the problem gets more and more difficult or the problem doesn't seem to go away straight away. I mean, I'm facing some faith challenges. Constant. I mean, that's normal. It's normal life. But I know I need a single mind, the mind of Christ on everything. And I need to keep saying it within myself. And speaking it out. That's called meditation. Meditate on the word day and night. And you will make your way successful. You'll have a successful life. Now, to change double-mindedness, you just have to focus on Jesus, allow the Spirit to help you, and keep the word in your heart, mind, and mouth. The promise. Day and night. If you've got a problem you don't know how to deal with, start to adjust your mindset permanently. Make a permanent change in your circumstances. Happen, if it happens within you, it will happen in your circumstances. But it's got to start in you first. How you see your kids, your grandkids, how you see your future. Jesus said, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you. Are you thinking, prospering me? In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things, it means we always win more than conquerors. It always means we win. As your days, so shall your strength be. I was given that word quite a long time ago, and it's mine. It's a promise. I don't know if you want it. All the promises are yes and amen. As your days, so shall your strength be. Oh my word, isn't that good? Be single-minded about that. And the power and life of Jesus will flow to you. You will see your miracle. The mind of the Spirit. Don't we need the Holy Spirit? Don't we need to know the mind of Christ for everything and everyone? When you pray for your family, get His mind on it. Get the Word of God on it. When we pray for our world today, we had an amazing prayer meeting here on Thursday night. And we were praying into the situation in ISIS and the circumstances of our world today. And we need the mind of Christ. If we're shaped by what the media say, the prejudices that keep hammering at us, we will not have the heart of God to see people in ISIS saved. Murderers forgiven. That's the heart of God. When before Paul became a Christian, he was Saul, and his intentions were to imprison and murder God's people. He had such a hatred. But God showed up, forgave him all his sins, that they didn't count anymore, and used him to preach the gospel to the whole world. Mindset change. I'm going to finish with this because I believe it's important for the life and power of the Holy Spirit. I need a spiritual mindset towards people. And people, you know, in all their imperfections, I don't know if there are any here today, or if you're just aware of everybody else's problems. People always mess up. Has anybody in this room ever messed up? Okay. People always kind of disappoint. Even in the church. And my attitude to those who do disappoint, I've got to step back and change my mindset from the disappointment to the mind of Christ. Otherwise, I can't minister in the power of the Spirit. I want God's kingdom blessing towards everyone. I want His Spirit working in and through me to you. I want His Spirit working through you to everyone. I want the Spirit working through you to the world. But one of the biggest ways to shut up the life of God, to close it down, is by having negative attitudes towards people. And you know what? That can happen as a build-up over years and years. And in my experience, most of the people who've treated me badly came from the church. And especially, I can look back over my history, and my history here included, I've had bad treatment from some. Don't think there are any here today. I think we're friends. I think we love one another. Because isn't that what we're supposed to do? Forgive as Christ forgave us. But in my early years, I can think back to just before I kind of set out on a faith walk in my call in ministry. Many years ago, I was so badly treated and so badly hurt. And that caused me to begin to justify myself a bit. And you know what justifying yourself sounds like? Well, they were wrong. You know, everybody would have agreed with me because they behaved so badly. They did. And they were wrong. They treated me so bad, they tried to shut me down. And the thing was that that began to build a bit of resentment in my heart towards these people. I began to want to reject them, walk away from them. And actually, I felt like what was happening was justifiable. Everything that I did, well, you know, you wouldn't want to kind of go towards those kinds of people because they're just, you know, they're awful. They've really treated you badly. And God began to speak to me that if I wanted miracles and blessing in my life, the only way was to deal with the resentment that was in my heart towards them. Now, you might call it something else, but God calls what we call sometimes have a bit of a problem with unforgiveness. Don't particularly like that ministry. I don't particularly like that leader. I don't particularly like that person in my faith group. Do you know what they did to me once? I mean, it was 10 years ago, but they did it. And I remember it. In fact, I keep on repeating within myself what they did. Because it's continuously in my thinking what they did wrong. You'll never be free when what somebody's done wrong is continually in your thinking. That's called unforgiveness. And do you know what unforgiveness develops into? A root of bitterness. And do you know what? Roots of bitterness defile you and defile many, Hebrews tells us. Critical. You know, critical thoughts come critical words. Pointing fingers. You know, if you've got the ministry of the pointing finger and you call it discernment, it's a gift. Well, what about them? What about them? Look at what they did. And I tell you, the worst is, and by far the worst that can happen in resentment, is somebody hurt someone you loved. It kind of gets worse. If somebody touches your kids, oh my goodness, it's like a bear with a cub. You know, the offense. Do you know what they did to my child? Do you know? And always within yourself, you're reeling out the remembrance of everything that they did. And the Lord told me, and I'm here to tell you, that I passed through that resentment, forgave, and came out into miracle land. He told me, he said, I will never work miracles and blessing in your life until you forgive all those who have hurt you. All. That there wouldn't be one negative thought in you about anyone or anything. We want a move of God, don't we? Yes, we want the life and power of the Spirit. Won't happen with resentment, negative thinking about anyone. And our thinking within ourselves, our mindset has to change to a, I forgive you. And I want blessing, the kingdom perfection in your life. No matter what you do to me, I'm going to go in the life of the Spirit and see kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Roots of bitterness can actually move churches. Go from one church to another, didn't like that. They carry that root. They've still got offense, but because they're in a new environment, they haven't found anybody they're mad with there. But God sees they're still mad with them. Back there. And we need to clear up our history and have nothing against anyone. From today on, we clear the decks and say, Jesus, you forgave me. How much more should I forgive those who spoke against me, who badly treated me, who actually wanted me to fail? I forgive. In fact, I don't just forgive. I want your perfect will in their lives. To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.